From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week, the Thanksgiving week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. This week, I'm privileged to have as my guest the chairwoman of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, Representative Carolyn Maloney of New York. Representative Maloney assumed the committee gavel about a year ago upon the untimely passing of Representative Elijah Cummings. Representative Maloney was first elected to Congress in 1992 with the strong and fearless support of postal employees. Since ascending to the chairmanship of the committee, Representative Maloney has led the battle against partisan attacks and the politicization of the United States Postal Service and has championed the effort that the agency be able to fulfill the expectations and the needs of America. The Congresswoman has fought to have a number of pandemic-related postal relief measures included in the House-passed HEROES Act and authored the House-passed Delivering for America Act and the committee-passed Nonpartisan Postmaster General Act. Welcome to Naps Chat, Madam Chair.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you, and I love the post office. It's in our Constitution. It supports us every day. They are the real heroes on the front line, getting medications and mail and helping to keep our country going. So I thank you and everyone involved with the post office for the great work you've done during this pandemic.
Before we begin, I want to pay tribute to a staff person who has been with you since your successful 1992 campaign against then-incumbent Representative Bill Green, a member of Congress who sought to undermine the sanctity of the mailbox by opening it up to competitors. Mark Stevenson has been a stalwart representing your priorities and providing accessibility to you and your legislative team. Thank you for Mark Stevenson's help and support and accessibility.
Thank you. You can't say enough good things about him. He's just a remarkable, remarkable public servant and person.
Wait, let's start with something I just referenced, and that is your relationship with postal employees that date back to the 1992 campaign. And how did your relationship with postal employees inform your views about the Postal Service and its operations?
Well, the Postal Service is one of the services that you interact with. You interact with them as they deliver the mail, as they are walking down the streets delivering the mail. They have performed an essential and vital service to our country, to the district that I represent. Whenever you go to the Post Service, there are lines out the door, and there's a good reason that you have these long lines. It's because they provide a very good service at a reasonable rate that is affordable to help keep this country connected with people no matter where they live. Even if they live in the remotest areas of the world, in our country, then their mail is delivered. In Alaska, in remote cities, in the middle of the woods, upstate in the Adirondacks, the Postal Service delivers it to everyone. It's really a treasure of this country and one of the few services that are mentioned in the Constitution.
I know that you've established a pretty good relationship with Tommy Roma from New York and Jimmy Warden, who also represents New York, and I want to thank you for that relationship and the accessibility that your office, both in New York and in Washington, has provided to them and to the folks that they represent.
Well, thank you for that. New York has really developed some of the finest leaders in the postal office history, wonderful leaders that became national leaders, starting out in New York and then moving to Washington in official roles for the Postal Service. So New York has been a center of great leadership for the movement in general, but especially for the Postal Service.
Now, I got to give a shout out to my dad, who passed away around a year ago, but he was a postal employee, a postal clerk in Greeley Square in mid-Manhattan. And I know he always asked how you all would do, how you were doing. And he followed particularly the 92 race. Appreciated that. And as I say, there's a personal relationship between you, the employees, the supervisors within the Postal Service. Now, as I mentioned when I introduced you, There is widespread fear that the Postal Service has become politicized over the last year, in part as a result of the reliance on the agency to deliver democracy by conveying and delivering absentee ballots. A number of federal court rulings have gone against the Postal Service, including one case brought by incoming New York Congressman Mundaire Jones. Do you think that this alleged politicization has impacted postal performance?
Mundaire Jones, I know that he filed a suit, and I know that he was concerned about making sure that all the mail was treated like first-class mail, and it was. I would say that I wish that the court case had not been necessary, but Postmaster General DeJoy made it clear that he was not going to do the right thing without being pushed and held accountable. An election with tens of millions of mail-in ballots being sent via the Postal Service, it was critical that the Postal Service prioritize ballots like they always have. And we know that the Post Office has treated mail-in ballots as first-class mail. And in my Delivering for America Act, it said that it should be treated as first-class mail. We hauled in DeJoy to a hearing, and he promised that he would treat it as first-class mail. And I applaud Congressman-elect Jones for his efforts that the ballots were delivered on time. And because of some of the actions that DeJoy made, where he literally slowed down the mail, I applaud Mundaire Jones for making sure that it was treated in this election as first-class mail and not relying on DeJoy's words, but with a court action behind it.
Do you think that the apparent politicization, and my question was the apparent politicization has impacted over the long haul the postal performance, or was just a blip?
Oh, I think that they have politicized the post office by appointing not only to the Board of Governors, but to the Postmaster General, but political partisans that are really active in one party. And I feel that the committee has now responded to it. The oversight committee that I chair now, the committee is conducting robust oversight over the decisions of the Postmaster General that have led to widespread mail delays and a host of other issues. Our ultimate goal is to ensure that the mail and medications are delivered on time to the American people and that the Postmaster General and Board of Governors are held accountable for their failures. And we have been conducting robust oversight of the disastrous changes the Postmaster General has made to the Postal Service operations. After the release of an internal document showing persistent delays at the Post Service, the Postmaster General finally admitted at our hearing that the mail delays were far worse than expected. He also agreed to put on hold the changes that he made. This decision has been backed up by several court orders requiring that these changes that he made be halted. And despite this, mail delays are persisting, and the Postal Service has no good explanation of why. Now, the Postal Service Inspector General that we will be hearing from in hearings in January, he recently issued a report finding that the drop in the Postal Service performance directly correlated to the changes that were implemented under Postmaster General DeJoy, who was appointed by Trump. And he issued a subpoena for all the documents we previously requested and are working with the Postal Service to receive continuous productions and reviewing the documents. We have also requested documents for the Board of Governors, but they are being less cooperative with our investigation. And all I can say, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that if Postmaster General DeJoy were the CEO of any other organization, the board would have removed him long ago. When the delays started, he would have been fired. And the board's refusal to hold the Postmaster General accountable is a failure that continues to harm the Postal Service and the trust of the American people in this critical agency. And the chairman of the board has demonstrated his complicity, failing to hold the Postmaster General accountable while continuing to allow him to degrade one of our nation's most trusted and popular institution, the United States Post Office.
In the midst of the pandemic, your fingerprints are on a number of pieces of legislation that would help the Postal Service, and I referenced a number of them when I introduced you. Now, the Senate has resisted taking up these bills in the current Congress. Could you briefly explain, if these bills were signed into law, how the Postal Service would have been affected?
Well, we passed a number of bills that would have reduced the financial burden of the Postal Service, like allowing a portion of retiree health benefits to be invested, also saying that they should not be held responsible for paying this amount, the requirement that the Postal Service has to repay future retirement health benefits is something that no other agency in the entire government or no other company in the private sector is expected to do. And we know how harmful this is and that it is burning a hole in the Postal Service's budget. So at the very least, this prepayment requirement for health benefits should absolutely be removed. And we passed that in legislation. It got through the House, and it did not get it through the Senate. And it's also critical that the changes that were made under Postmaster General DeJoy's tenure are not allowed to continue damaging on-time delivery of mail, which has still not rebounded. So we need to pass legislation, laws, that say that these harmful changes cannot happen. We need to pass legislation that will modernize the post office, and we want to build off a modern post office and build future stability of the finances of the post office. And we have to make sure that ballots are always treated as first class in legislation to make sure that it's enforceable. And I would say in the House in this coming session that we are confronting, we will pass it again in Congress, and I would urge my Senate colleagues to join us this time so that it can become law.
One of the facts that you just mentioned is that the Postmaster General suspended certain types of actions, reductions in service, until the election. Now the election is past us. Do you think that the Postmaster General will now re-implement the changes that were suspended pending the election?
Not on my watch, will he. We will pass legislation to stop it. We will immediately subpoena all documents if he proceeds in that way. And we have sent an urgent appeal for him not to undermine the workers and the excellent service that the Post Office Service provides the American people with his, quote, reforms that did nothing but damage delivery and responsiveness to the American people. And I would add that the post office is more important now than ever because of the pandemic. Postal workers are on the front line. They're emergency frontline workers. And their work is getting the medications that so many people need to them. And I would say the documents and papers for people to work from our homes. So the Postal Office is more important than ever, and I will fight with every bone in my body to make them more independent, more stable, more on a financial strong standing so that they can continue their fine work for the American people.
You had mentioned a hearing that you anticipate having in January with the Inspector General, Tammy Whitcomb, who you will invite to testify. Could you share your plans for general postal oversight over the next coming months, and should we expect more hearings?
Well, right now, what we've done is we've subpoenaed many documents, and the Postmaster General, the DeJoy's office, is cooperating. The Board of Governors has not been as cooperative. So we need to get these documents and then to make a detailed analysis of it. And then we'll frame our hearing and our questions. But I know for certain that the report from the IG of the Post Office she will definitely be called to testify. Now, some of the documents that we have requested, and it's a matter of public knowledge, it's public that we requested them, We've requested documents detailing plans to ensure that the election mail is delivered on time, promptly. We requested documents regarding any operational changes implemented under Postmaster General DeJoy's leadership. We requested documents detailing interactions between the Postmaster General and any Trump administration officials. And we requested documents detailing the initial terms offered by the Postal Service by the Treasury Department for a $10 billion loan authorized by the CARES Act. And the Treasury was putting many onerous restrictions on getting that funding. That was wrong. We stopped that, but we want to know what they were pushing to, that the Treasury Department wanted to put on as a requirement before the Post Office got the $10 billion. We also demanded documents detailing Mr. DeJoy's interaction with the Board of Governors during the search for a new Postmaster General, because there were many very talented people that had a history of working in postal, and yet they were all jumped over. For Mr. DeJoy, who had been a political operative for the Republican Party. So those are the things we'll be looking at.
Now, legislatively, do you anticipate early next year a postal repair bill or a postal reform bill? And as a side to that, what would be your legislative priorities, postal speaking, for the 117th Congress?
Well, first and foremost, I would want them to be funded adequately, so that they are funded adequately to do their job. And we know the Board of Governors recommended that we fund them with $25 billion just to make up for all the demands that they were under with the pandemic. So we need to get them funded very quickly. And we have to take the onerous requirement that has been put on the Postal Service that no other agency in the public or company in the public or private sector has ever had to do. But there's a requirement that was added to them to repay future retirement health benefits in advance. No one is expected to pay for health benefits in advance, except for the Postal Service. But I would certainly remove this prepayment future retirement health benefits payment, mm-hmm. Which I think is extremely unfair. I would also include protections of whistleblowers for postal employees. I support protecting all whistleblowers and certainly support strengthening protections for postal employees in principle, particularly given the events of this year. And with any new provisions we include in postal reform, we need to be respectful of collective bargaining agreements. I would say that we would look at any way to put the Postal Service on a stronger financial basis. And I would certainly pass legislation to treat ballots as first-class mail. And I would put in law that the onerous steps that Postmaster General DeJoy took that literally slowed down the mail. They took away the option for overtime. They took the sorting machines that can sort 30,000 pieces of mail in 1 hour. They dismantled them and took them out of processing centers. How does that help the mail? That just distorts it. And I would stop their picking up of the mailboxes and taking them out of service to the people. I would reverse all of the actions that Mr. DeJoy took to slow down the mail. And I support all of the leadership of the Postal Service and members of Congress that have taken efforts to help ensure the ballots were delivered on time. And when ballots are delivered on time, everything else is delivered on time, meaning the medications, the work papers that people need. Never has the Postal Office been so important because literally people are being ordered to stay in their homes in the Post Service is what's keeping people in contact and helping them to really survive with their medications and and the payments of their bills and everything else they have to do. So
yeah, Naps,
those are just a few of my ideas. I'm sure when I get back in January and get all warmed up, I'll come up with a lot more.
Well, firstly, NAPS is very enthusiastically supports your whistleblower protection, particularly of postal managers, because postal managers are not afforded collective bargaining protections. So they're sort of vulnerable if they share their insight with folks in Congress, issues of concern by postal supervisors.
I would say that we need more transparency generally, more transparency in the post office. And that means that the Public and Postal Regulatory Commission, when large-scale operational or changes are planned, should be transparent, not only to the postal workers, but also to the American people. And we have to consider ways to reduce the financial burden on the Postal Service. And we need to support the Postal Supervisors and Managers Fairness Act. I would say that postal supervisors and managers are critical to the operation, the smooth operation of the Postal Service, and that they deserve to be treated fairly and with respect when negotiating any pay and benefits. And as we are discussing postal reform leading into the new Congress, we will certainly consider these provisions very, very closely.
Thank you for that. My last question, Madam Chair. President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris are presently conducting the so-called transition process. In fact, NAPS has met with the transition team this week. What guidance would you have to the incoming administration relating to the Postal Service and, if you will, qualifications or criteria they should take into account when selecting members to the Board of Governors?
First, I'd like to say that I am sure that the Biden-Harris team is going to take postal reform, postal independence, and postal strengthening very, very seriously, and that they will be supportive of any ways to protect the Postal Service and to strengthen the Postal Service. And that really goes to postal employees, too. I would think that they, and I would think most members of Congress, would support the Postal Employee Appeals Rights Amendment and enact it. Postal employees deserve labor protections just like any other federal employee. And this is important to ensure that Postal Service employees are protected from adverse personnel actions, protections, especially given who the Postmaster General is. And a bill was included in a draft version of postal reform last year, and I expect it will be in the bill going forward in this coming Congress, along with whistleblower protections. But one of the problems that we have and that we have confronted this past year has been the political influence into the post office. And I've never seen it before. The chairman of the board is very involved with Mitch McConnell's PACs and are major contributors and leaders in the Republican Party. And I know that they hired a private firm called Reynolds, which is a executive search firm, and that the executive search firm came forward with numerous names for the Postmaster General and for the board members, and they jumped over them. They did not select what the professionals put forward and moved Mr. DeJoy in, even though he wasn't even mentioned in the list that they put forward as qualified. So if we have these restrictions and guidance to select qualified people, we have to do something that protects political operatives from jumping over the selection process and jumping over the qualifications that the professionals put forward. Postmaster General is an absolutely huge job, and most of them throughout history, not always, but most of them, have come up through the Post Service. They're people who worked in the Postal Service. They became, they were mail handlers or mail delivery, and then all of a sudden they're a manager, they're head of a region, they're head of a major regions, they're head of the country, and then they become the Postmaster General. None of that happened. None of those qualifications and were looked at, obviously, in Mr. DeJoy. And as I said, if anyone else in this country took over a major business, which the post office is, and literally ran it into the ground, and we have documents from whistleblowers in the post office, documents that say that in all the major categories, the delivery of service went down anywhere from 6 to 8%. Believe me, anyone in the private sector would have been fired by now for mismanagement.
Yeah, the irony, Chairwoman Maloney, is that prior to the Postal Reorganization Act in 71, since the Postal Reorganization Act, I believe, with a couple of exceptions, the Postmaster General has come up through the ranks. Prior to the Postal Reorganization Act, when the Postmaster General was actually a cabinet-level post, despite the fact the Postmaster General was political. For example, I mean, the post office in Manhattan, the main post office is named the Farley Building. He was the Democratic National Chair under Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And Larry O'Brien was the Democratic Chair that LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, appointed as Postmaster General. But in none of the cases prior to the Postal Reorganization Act had a Postmaster General, despite being a political appointee or a cabinet-level post, really used the Postal Service for political reasons, or was there any political interference in the operations of the Postal Service? I don't recall that.
I don't know what happened. I know what happened under DeJoy because I researched it. I held a hearing on it. I issued the report on it. But I don't know what happened under prior people. There obviously was not a scandal, otherwise it would have been written about.
No, I was just saying that.
A lot of people, you know, you can be political and be very honest and want to serve your country. And,
mm-hmm.
So that has to be looked at too. So.
Yeah, I think it's a different world that we live in today than existed years ago, whether it be 50 years ago or maybe 100 years ago.
Well, I would say that it's a recent development that there's a whole push by some members of Congress to privatize the post office, which mm-hmm. I am totally opposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, if you live in a rural area of America, your postal fees, your stamps fees would go up dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, under our universal postal system, you can stamp a letter and it can go to someone living in the woods in upstate New York in the Adirondacks. The Postal Service will find them and get that mail to them. And you wouldn't have that if you privatized the post office. And it always shocks me that so many members of Congress are interested in this way of going. And I think it's totally wrong. And I will fight to keep it as a public service, as an agency that serves the American people.
For that, we thank you, Chairwoman Maloney. So on behalf of tens of thousands of NAPS members, I wish to thank you, Chairwoman Maloney, and to wish you a truly meaningful Thanksgiving, and thank you for joining us on NAPS Chat and the job that you do. To our listeners, if you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store, and more important, tell your friends to download our podcast and listen in. Congresswoman, thank you for joining us today.
I want to thank you, and I want to thank you and all the essential workers that you represent in the Postal Service that have served this country so well during this pandemic. On behalf of the people that I represent, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your selfless service to the American people.
Thank you, Congresswoman, and be well and be safe. And for our listeners, I'll speak with you next week.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make